The Final Word by Darson Buckner. Part 1 of 3. Introduction. This series represents the culmination of many years of personal study, prayer, and careful reflection. I offer it not as an argument against anyone, but as a testimony to what I have seen in Scripture regarding the sovereignty and love of God. I grew up in a Baptist tradition that loved the Bible and treated eternity with seriousness. I am grateful for that foundation. What follows is not a rejection of Scripture, but the result of testing what I inherited against the whole counsel of God. My prayer is simple, that these reflections would drive readers not toward my conclusions, but toward the Word of God itself, and toward a deeper trust in the character of the one who declares the end from the beginning, the God who declares the end from the beginning. At the church I attended, the Scripture was taught with sincerity. Heaven and hell were spoken of plainly. Salvation mattered, eternity mattered, God was holy. And like many in that tradition, I was taught the doctrine of eternal conscious torment, that those who died outside of salvation would endure unending punishment. I believed it. I defended it. I assumed it was the only faithful way to read Scripture. But the belief carried something else with it. I was also taught that salvation could be lost, that at any moment, through failure or falling away, a person could forfeit eternal life. That combination shaped my understanding of God more than I realized. Eternity felt fragile. I believed that God was powerful, yet I also believed that His purposes could be permanently frustrated in countless lives, perhaps even my own. That theology was in my bones. For decades, I did not question it, but something began to trouble me, not emotionally at first, but scripturally. Isaiah declares that God is the one who is, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, "My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." Isaiah 46:10. That is not the language of a God reacting to history. That is the language of a God authoring it. But His sovereignty is not only cosmic, it is personal. David writes, "Your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed. And in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them." Psalm 139:16. Before I took my first breath, my days were already known, not guessed, not adjusted, written. That realization began to unsettle me. If God declares the end from the beginning, and if my days were fashioned before one of them came to be, then history is not unfolding outside of His intention. It is unfolding according to it. The Apostle Paul writes that God works all things according to the counsel of His will. Ephesians 1:1. All things, not some things, not most things, all things. Revelation speaks of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Before there was sin, there was a plan for redemption. Before there was death, there was a purpose for resurrection. Before the disruption of the world, God had already purposed redemption in Christ. Ephesians 1:4-10, 1 Peter 1:20. The cross was not an emergency measure. It was woven into the fabric of His eternal counsel. Before history unfolded, its end was declared. This realization did not immediately dismantle my previous beliefs. In fact, it unsettled me. If God truly works all things according to the counsel of His will, then His purposes cannot ultimately fail. If He desires all to be saved, 1 Timothy 2:4, and if His counsel shall stand, then His desire cannot be eternally frustrated. To even consider, that felt dangerous. And yet, for much of my life, I lived as though the most important things, eternal destinies, ultimately rested on fragile human will. That tension began to grow inside me. If God truly works all things according to the counsel of his will, then his purposes cannot ultimately fail. For nearly 3 years, I wrestled. I felt guilt, as though I were betraying something sacred. Questioning eternal conscious torment felt like stepping outside of a boundary that I had never imagined crossing. But I did not move quickly. I returned to Scripture again and again, not to prove myself right, not to disprove someone else, but to seek truth. One question at a time, one answer at a time. The more I tested my inherited beliefs against the whole counsel of Scripture, the more something unexpected began to happen. Sovereignty stopped feeling threatening. It began to feel steady. If God is truly sovereign, history is not teetering on human will. Redemption is not an attempt, it is an accomplishment. The story is not uncertain. And if that sovereign God is love, then the end of the story cannot contradict his character. If he declares the end from the beginning, then we must ask, what is that end? To be continued.